from the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare, the hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.
My dad works in B2B marketing. He came by my school for career day and said he was a big ROAS man. Then he told everyone how much he loved calculating his return on ad spend. My friends still laugh at me to this day.
Not everyone gets B2B, but with LinkedIn, you'll be able to reach people who do. Get a $100 credit on your next ad campaign. Go to linkedin.com/results to claim your credit. That's linkedin.com/results. Terms and conditions apply. LinkedIn, the place to be.
Nothing is more important than getting a good night's sleep, and when you don't get the rest you need, your whole day is thrown off. That's why it's so important to choose the right mattress. Sleeping on a Purple mattress is truly a unique experience, because Purple mattresses are made with a GelFlex grid. The GelFlex grid is an innovative material that moves with your body to relieve pressure in areas like knees and hips, and support in others, like your back. It feels soft where you want it and supports where you need it. Purple mattresses instantly adapt when you move. You don't sink in and get stuck like with memory foam. And thanks to over 1,400 air chambers in the GelFlex grid, you will sleep cooler on a Purple mattress. Purple has a wide variety of mattresses, from the original Purple mattress to the Restore Hybrid Collection that combines GelFlex grid with coils, and the Rejuvenate Luxe Collection, the height of luxury, with over 112,000 five-star reviews to prove it. Visit purple.com to find the perfect purple for you and enter code PODCAST10 to get 10% off.
Welcome back into the show. My name is Carrington Harrison. You are listening to The Drive on 96.5 The Fan. I'm live outside Kauffman Stadium, right next to Gate D. For you guys know what I'm talking about, right in front of the stadium. They got the little ticket window. Look to your right. You will see my smiling face. To my right is Nate Taylor from The Athletic. Nate, this is your first appearance in football, man. How's it been, man? I haven't seen you in a while.
I'm good. I survived another training camp, my man, and it's still hot, but I'm good.
So let's just start with this, man. There's so many things to get to. You're going to be here for the whole hour. We'll take some questions. There's a lot of stuff. What's your big takeaway? Because my big stance, at least with this team, is nothing good can happen in training camp. We know this team. Only
right.
things that can happen are bad things. Mm. Hollywood Brown gets injured. Last year, Travis Kelce gets injured. You're not a team that doesn't know who its quarterback is or
right.
trying to break somebody in. So only bad things can happen in preseason. We did have one injury, and we'll get to that in a bit here, but you were there every single day.
Mm-hmm.
What was your big takeaway from training camp?
They're gonna be just fine. I think one of the takeaways might be, hey, you know, you don't have the same depth you have, you know, the last 2 years when you won the Super Bowl, right? There is no Nick Allegretti on this roster. You know, Mike Edwards is not on this roster. I know some people are concerned about Lajarius Sneed being in Tennessee, you know, but they're not going to have the same amount of depth. So I guess injuries are important. The fact that you want to keep everybody healthy, you know, before the opening – September 5th against Baltimore. But yeah, man, Patrick Mahomes, really good. It was nice to see Chris Jones for a week, and then he realized, oh yeah, that's probably why I held out last year, because training camp is hard. It's hot, but he's gonna be there week one as well. They pretty much know who they are, and starting today they could finally say, all right, we got through training camp, we got through two preseason games, now we can actually start preparing for the Baltimore Ravens, even before, you know, they play the Chicago Bears Thursday night to finish out the preseason. They're preparing for Baltimore today from now until, obviously, September 5th.
On a scale from 1 to 10, so 1 being not a deal at all, for 10, this being catastrophic, how big of an injury do you think is the Hollywood Brown injury? Because what my take
Ooh,
was,
okay.
my take was when it first happened was,
uh-huh.
if you just go on Google, You knew that Hollywood Brown wasn't going to play in 17 games. Now, man. I know you can't, like, one-to-one decide when he's going to play and when he's not going to play.
Right.
But you know what? I'd much rather you miss the games in September than miss the games later in the season. So I actually think it's like a 3 or a 4 because I think they have enough bodies to make up for the injury. But where are you at?
I'm more – if you care about week one, I would say it's probably a 6. Just because he is a veteran, he's played in, you know, big games before. You know, this is going to be Xavier Worthy's first true NFL experience. So it could go either way, right? It could go obviously very well because of the talent, or he could struggle just because he's never played in that environment. And, hey, the speed of an NFL game is different than even preseason. But having somebody else that, you know, Patrick could really rely on, I still give it a 6 because, you know, the Ravens are probably going to double-team Travis Kelce. You know, Rashee Rice is going to provide, you know, probably quality production if he's not suspended, which all indications are he's probably going to play in this game. Yes, you have Isaiah Pacheco, but you really don't know who the backup running back is at this point. So it would have been nice to have, you know, Hollywood Brown, you know, on a 3rd and 8 when you clearly think he's going to have a one-on-one matchup. You can count on him to win that. Instead, it'll be Justin Watson probably. So, you know, in the terms of the entire season, I would guess it's probably like a 4. But if you want to start week one with a victory, the Chiefs would clearly have a better odds of doing that than not having him. But he was really good throughout all the training camp. Like, no issues whatsoever. Was really getting the offense down. Had a really good connection with Patrick. You know, even Travis Kelce sort of commended him on his ability to sort of be a guy who could teach, you know, Rashee Rice, could teach Xavier Worthy a thing or two in the meeting rooms. And for that injury to happen on the first snap of the preseason, it couldn't have gone worse for all the good things he had done up to that point. But I think most Chiefs fans should target that week 3 game against the Atlanta Falcons. I think it's what, September 22nd, if my memory's correct. You know, he should be back definitely for that game. I guess the question becomes, if he's not going to play against Baltimore, will he be available, you know, 10 days later against the Cincinnati Bengals in week 2?
I've looked at the game against Atlanta as a realistic return date for him.
Yeah.
Just Tyreek missed a month of games.
Right.
The first 2 seem very unrealistic to me. That 3rd game, Sunday Night Football, maybe that 4th game against the Chargers could be a possible return day for him. A big reason why I'm not worried about it is I think with all the off-the-field stuff, we have forgotten how explosive Rashee Rice is. And let's say none of that stuff happens.
Right.
Man, there was only one rookie in the NFL that had more yards receiving than him last year. There were only 3 that had more catches than him last year. We'd be talking about him having a big second season if none of the stuff had happened off the field. So you got Rashee Rice as a known commodity coming into the season. They didn't have a healthy Travis Kelce for the first month of the season last year.
I would even argue for like half a year because he got hurt in like the 5th game against the Vikings.
Yeah,
and
again,
I was like, weren't you just starting to get healthy? Like, yeah. So he wasn't healthy for like half the season. But, yeah, to your point, I mean, they looked so explosive that first week in training camp because you realize that, like, okay, Xavier Worthy's speed definitely translates. And Rashee Rice is so much better than he was at that point a year ago. And Travis Kelce's back to being fully healthy. And, of course, Patrick Mahomes is, you know, in the prime of his career. So they have all the options possible. So I totally understand why you have confidence in the offense. It's just it would have been really nice for them to have all 3 of those weapons out and force the Ravens to basically choose their poison, right? How are you going to match up all these guys when there's so much speed on the offense for Mahomes to sort of isolate and find his matchup? It's okay for us to realize that Rashee Rice is a really good football player, full stop. Like, there's no real deficiencies in his game other than the occasional drop. And so I totally get it. Like, even in the preseason game Saturday against the Detroit Lions, it was like, man, he knows all the holes in the zones. He catches and gets upfield so well. And I actually think he's slightly gotten a little bit faster than he was a year ago just because you're not thinking anymore. And he's had a whole offseason to sort of train his body instead of going from the draft to the league to really understanding, here's what I want to do from year 1 to year 2. So, again, if he's not suspended, which I haven't heard anything suggesting that, He should be in a really, really good position to help this team and even have an even better season in year two than obviously what he showed as an impressive rookie season last year.
Right now, we got Nate Taylor joining us. We are at Kauffman Stadium right now, getting you ready for tonight's game between the Royals and the Angels. Is it a disappointment that Wanya Morris is not the starting left tackle? Because I'm guessing when you draft a player out of Oklahoma, especially given the track record of that school and offensive linemen, the expectation is year one for you to get the experience that you got.
Yep.
And then heading into year two, we don't need to bring Donovan Smith back because we have you and we're going to slide you into that role. He never had the role of being the starting left tackle. Since they drafted Kingsley Suamataia, he has been a backup left tackle this entire time.
Yep.
And he also never really competed for the job. I know we wrote and talked about it and all of that, but he never had a realistic shot of being the starting left tackle. From a player standpoint, is it disappointing that Wanya did not win this job?
It's disappointing that I don't even think – kind of to what you're saying, it's disappointing that it wasn't a real competition. Like, I had to basically write it in The Athletic because it's like, hey, something to talk about offseason. It could go either way. Man, from the moment they drafted Kingsley Suamataia, the entire plan was how many reps can we get him in practice and is he going to show, you know, nice progression to be the week one starter. Wanya Morris was a nice sort of security insurance policy, I guess. But he never really competed once they put the pads on. He didn't play in the first preseason game. Obviously, Kingsley got all the reps with the ones and even Carson Wentz Saturday against the Detroit Lions. So I'm disappointed in the fact that the coaches really never had to, like, say, hold on, let's sit down and think about this. Or, hey, let's have a meeting and let's actually split the reps up truly, right, 50-50. That never happened. And you could say that's encouraging on one end because Kingsley was someone who was, you know, one of the highest recruited prospects in his, you know, in his year. Obviously spent a year at Oregon, transferred to BYU, was basically, you know, supposed to be their, you know, their great starting left tackle. He's a second round pick. They picked over you and they picked a round higher than you if you're Wanya Morris. So the role for him is to be the swing tackle. If something happens to Juwan Taylor, if something happens with Kingsley, if he gets off to a slow start, okay, be a professional, be ready if you need to come in and be a spot starter. But I'm disappointed in the fact that he has capable traits to be a capable starter, yet he never pushed a guy who's never played a down in the NFL, and the entire coaching staff led by Andy Reid was like, fine with it, cool, he's going to be the guy. And as I wrote, the real competition in training camp was actually at the second cornerback spot. From the moment Kingsley sort of demonstrated himself to be obviously a talented player with the pads on, it was never a competition again.
So that was a position battle that we talked a lot about, left tackle. That was maybe the battle coming into training camp. The other conversation has been about wide receiver. I think you would agree. Rice, Worthy, Brown, and Watson are all locks to make the team.
That's
They were never in danger of making the team.
Correct.
Would you put Mecole Hardman in that conversation? Is he a lock to make the team?
He's getting pretty dang close. Not only does he have the most experience with Patrick Mahomes, which I like to remind people, even though he hasn't had the best production, he's just been on the team the longest, and there's a reason they signed him in the offseason. Hey, we're going to get you on another one-year deal because you're super duper fast, you know the offense, and hey, if we need you to be the third or fourth receiver on a specific game in October, November, we can live with it. So I think he's pretty close to being a lock. He can give you punt return if you don't want to have Xavier Worthy do that right now just because of the injury to Hollywood Brown. And then I think they'll have to keep Seven just because we don't expect Hollywood to be available week one for sure. Who knows? Maybe he comes back week two, week three. So that means, hey, is it Justin Ross? Is it Nico Remigio? Because, you know, he had a pretty good kickoff return in the preseason game. He's been fine.
He needed that after game one.
Yeah, yeah. And so he's still in the mix. I think it's a wrap on Kadarius Toney.
You think he's done?
It's a wrap. It's if I'm disappointed that Wanya Morris really never made Kingsley really have to earn the starting job, I'm highly disappointed that Kadarius Toney is healthy and didn't really get better as training camp in the preseason progressed.
He had two penalties and one catch for negative yards.
It's not great, man. He's so talented, but I just think it's a wrap. I know the Chiefs are probably calling teams to be like, hey, sixth round pick, seventh round pick, pick swap. And I don't know if anybody's going to bite on that sort of trade offer, even though Kadarius is healthy and he's talented. But I don't think he's making this team. So now you're looking at guys like Justin Ross and Nico Remigio, and I think Mecole Hardman's probably on the team. So there's your seven. If no one gets hurt between now and cut down day on August 27th. So I think the Chiefs have five solid options. I don't know if you're going to get a ton out of Justin Ross, particularly on special teams. But you can live with that just because you have tight ends such as Noah Gray, Travis Kelce, and even the rookie Jared Wiley.
It's funny because last year I thought the Ross hype was completely out of control. But now this season, I think he has had a much better camp, a much
right.
better preseason. All the hype that people had last year, he's now, to me, warranted some of that hype and excitement. He provides something they don't have. Now,
right.
I don't know
yes.
how they're going to use it.
That's the question,
they
yes.
They do not have a guy who can have a contested catch.
Right.
They don't have a bigger, more physical, athletic receiver on the outside. There is a role for that player if he continues to develop
yes.
in a room full of 6'1", wiry, speedster,
small guys. Yeah, small guys. Small, speedy guys. I think the coaching staff would like him to do one thing, and I don't know if they're even going to, like, try to, like, show it against the Chicago Bears, because, honestly, the third preseason game, it's like, please no one get hurt, and we're trying to look at maybe the running backs and the tight ends and the linebackers and maybe the second-string offense, defensive line. So you're not really worried about the receivers, but I do think what they would like for Justin Ross to do is, hey, can you be a possession receiver in the middle of the field? Because it's clear if – you want him to run a nine route in a one-on-one matchup, he's going to out-jump that corner. He's going to make a pretty good catch. He showed that all throughout training camp. He had a great reception against the Jaguars in the preseason opener where it's just like, hey, fade route, one-on-one, I'm going to go win that ball. I think next is, can you provide anything on special teams, which I think the answer is not really. So, okay, let's have you run like some digs. Can you run a drag route? Can we get you in some one-on-one isolation slants in the middle of the field, and can you catch the ball? He hasn't really demonstrated that, both in practice and in games. But I think he's pretty much on the team because I was all for Justin Ross last year just because of what he did in Clemson and obviously the history with his injuries. But, you know, he can do one thing really, really well. And to your point,
that's a valuable skill to have.
Kadarius Toney can't do that. No. I'm not asking Xavier Worthy to do it. I damn sure don't want Rashee Rice in one-on-one isolations because he's just too good at crossers and intermediate routes and even getting downfield. So, hey, can you do the dirty work and can you be the, you know, the fade in the back of the end zone? Sure, fine. So if they can get him some of those opportunities, then okay. But I don't know if he's really progressed as, like, a more complete receiver between rookie season and this year.
Are you 100% certain that Clyde Edwards-Helaire is making the team?
Say a prayer, y'all. I'm dead serious.
You think he's done?
Say a prayer. He's going to have to – like, this is crazy. He's going to have to play on Thursday. Like, Andy Reid, we talked to him today before today's practice, and it was brought up. And Andy Reid said, I don't know. Like, love him to death. He's a great guy. He's discussed openly about his – PTSD and some of the effects that has on him, both physically and mentally, because he fluctuates in terms of his weight, which is not great as a football player. Frank Clark used to deal with that. He had two snaps in the first preseason game? Not good. Missed Saturday's game. And, hey, Carson Steele looks like a player, right, in some limited role. Denarik Prince had a nice run that you have not shown you can do in training camp. You haven't shown, obviously, in the preseason. Do they need more than three running backs / fullbacks? I would argue no. But he's such a great person, and I know the guys love him in the locker room, and he has been serviceable at times, but he hasn't shown it yet thus far in training camp and in the preseason because of what he's battling that is – more mental than I think is physical. But he's going to have to show in this preseason game against the Chicago Bears, are you a functional, you know, trustworthy NFL player? And if that's the case, then sure. All right, we'll have four running backs. Maybe we won't have four tight ends. You know, maybe we can sneak Irv Smith Jr. to the practice squad. But if that doesn't happen, then you might say, hey, can we waive you or release you, and can we get you back on the practice squad? Can we give you a couple weeks to get back into football shape? Because I think that's been a real issue. But he did practice today, and we'll just see how he does on Thursday. But I'm not sure he's on the 53-man roster if they had to make the decision today.
So I bring it up because the point that I've made with Carson Steele is, this is the point that I've made. We're not – sometimes I think like a guy like Darius Fountain.
Oh.
He was an okay college football player.
Yes.
It's hard to go from being an okay college football player at Northern Iowa to now being a successful NFL player.
Yes.
We're talking about a guy in Carson Steele who dominated at a mid-major. Mm-hmm. He then transferred up to a Power 5 and ran for 900 yards last year and averaged 5 yards a carry. It would not be surprising if last year UCLA's starting running back turned into a productive NFL player.
Right. Yes.
So I think I understand why we didn't talk a lot about him. Undrafted guy, don't know
who
he is.
You just don't know, yeah,
right. But now that we've got to this place, I think he's the second best running back option that they have on this team. And knock on wood, because you and I both follow the NFL, teams running backs get hurt all the time in the National Football League. If you play flag fantasy football, you know that running back injuries happen. You need to be prepared at some point to have another running back that you think can have 150 carries. And if you're saying right now, what running back do I trust the most on their roster to get 150 carries between Prince, Steele, and Clyde Edwards-Helaire, my answer would be Carson Steele.
That's crazy, but I have to agree. At this point, right, who can be – this is something that I talked about with Isaiah Pacheco during his rookie season, where it became quite obvious that the coaching staff was going to have to make him the starter, despite him being drafted in the seventh round, despite the fact that you drafted Clyde Edwards-Helaire in the first round just a few years prior. Who makes the defense – not tackle well? Who breaks tackles? Who eludes defenders? Who gets yards after contact? And it was clear then that Isaiah Pacheco was exceeding Clyde Edwards-Helaire in that department. And it's clear right now, between the three guys you mentioned, Carson Steele has been the one who's done it the most in the preseason.
The point that I've made about Clyde Edwards-Helaire is, let's say it's second and eight and you decide to run the football.
Uh-huh.
It will not be first down if you get the ball to Clyde Edwards-Helaire. He ain't getting 9 yards for that carry. He ain't getting 10 yards a carry.
Yeah.
It will 100% be third down. Where if Carson Steele, he can run through a guy, he can make a guy miss.
Right.
There is a chance that it's a first down. Or if it's second and six, I don't know if Clyde Edwards-Helaire is getting you a first down in that scenario.
Right.
He is not bad to me. He just doesn't have any kind of pop, no sizzle, no big play ability.
Yes.
It is just first and 10. Now it's second and six. Now it's third and three. There's no big play ability with him where I think Carson gives you a chance that he can give you a little bit of pop in the offense.
Yes, and I think it goes both ways, right? He's not a home run hitter, but he also isn't getting you a lot of singles, right? And what I mean by that is, are you handing the ball out to Clyde Edwards-Helaire in a short yardage situation? Or are you giving it to Carson Steele? And so he's kind of in an odd place, that being Clyde, because I think Carson is clearly their solution, or one of their solutions, to short yardage situations. That's one of the reasons why they featured him in the first preseason game against the Jaguars. When it comes to Isaiah Pacheco, he obviously has, you know, some speed to give you a 15, 20-yard carry. Clyde Edwards-Helaire is maybe 3 yards in a cloud of dust if everything's blocked up perfectly, if you scheme it right and the defense, you know, doesn't expect a run. Hey, maybe he can give you 6, 7 yards a carry. His biggest play last year was through scheme. It was on a screen pass against the New England Patriots, and he had just wide open space to run behind Creed Humphrey, Trey Smith. It's those kind of plays where you can still use him because he is such a good receiver. He obviously had a touchdown in that game. The only benefit to Clyde is, hey, he's shown that he's done it before, right? So if there's a game that doesn't really feel awesome in October and November, hey, at least we know Clyde is professional enough to give us something. Carson Steele has never done it before, but as to your point, he's really productive in college, and he's done everything that the coaching staff has asked him to do. He catches the ball well. He blocked really well on that blitz that led to Xavier Worthy's touchdown against the Detroit Lions. Hey, he could do even stuff on special teams, is what he showed on Saturday as well. And, of course, he can break tackles and maybe give you some pop. So Carson Steele right now on the depth chart is probably running back two. And I just want to remind people, Denarius Prince had a colossal mistake on special teams in the preseason opener, and outside of one run is averaging about 1 yard per carry. So not great, but at least he showed for one snap kind of on a scheme-based play that he can, you know, get you additional yards. He just hasn't been as consistent as the team would have liked entering year two.
Coming up on the other side, I will ask you this question. I will give you $1 million if you get this correctly. What's the first game that the Chiefs lose? I'm curious your answer coming up.
Of course
on
he's
going
to do this to me.
I'm curious what it is. I will give you $1 million if you accurately predict the first Chiefs loss. I'm curious which one you're going to pick. Keep it right here. It's The Drive.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare. The hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.
My dad works in B2B marketing. He came by my school for career day and said he was a big ROAS man. Then he told everyone how much he loved calculating his return on ad spend. My friends still laugh at me to this day.
Not everyone gets B2B, but with LinkedIn, you'll be able to reach people who do. Get a $100 credit on your next ad campaign. Go to linkedin.com/results to claim your credit. That's linkedin.com/results. Terms and conditions apply. LinkedIn, the place to be.
Nothing is more important than getting a good night's sleep, and when you don't get the rest you need, your whole day is thrown off. That's why it's so important to choose the right mattress. Sleeping on a Purple mattress is truly a unique experience because Purple mattresses are made with a GelFlex grid. The GelFlex grid is an innovative material that moves with your body to relieve pressure in areas like knees and hips and support in others like your back. It feels soft where you want it and supports where you need it. Purple mattresses instantly adapt when you move. You don't sink in and get stuck like with memory foam. And thanks to over 1,400 air chambers in the GelFlex grid, you will sleep cooler on a Purple mattress. Purple has a wide variety of mattresses, from the original Purple mattress to the Restore Hybrid Collection that combines GelFlex Grid with coils, and the Rejuvenate Luxe Collection, the height of luxury, with over 112,000 five-star reviews to prove it. Visit purple.com to find the perfect purple for you and enter code PODCAST10 to get 10% off.
There's sports betting, and then there's Circa Las Vegas, an adults-only sports watching nirvana. Now you can watch up to 19 games at the world's largest sports book on a 78-million-pixel, three-story mega screen. Plus, it's always spectator season at America's largest pool amphitheater, Stadium Swim. Stadium Swim is open 365 days a year and features all sports on an epic 143-foot screen. Book your reservation at CircaLasVegas.com. Circa Las Vegas, this is sports the way it should be.
For those in recovery, support from friends and family often leads to better outcomes. Here's to those who are essential to helping people find their path to recovery. Visit cdc.gov/stopoverdose for information about treatment options and how to support those experiencing addiction.
Welcome back into the show. My name is Carrington Harrison. You are listening to The Drive on 96.5 The Fan. All right. Nate Taylor of The Athletic.
Yes, sir.
I will ask you a very important question. I will give you $1 million. You have to accurately predict the first Chiefs loss of the season.
Okay.
I imagine you have them as the one seed. I imagine you have them winning the division.
Sure.
Everybody thinks the Chiefs is going to be good this year.
Yes.
If I give you $1 million, what's the first loss you're predicting for the Chiefs?
All right. I looked at the schedule during the break, and I'm going to do Chiefs fans – some justice. They will beat the Baltimore Ravens. They will beat the Cincinnati Bengals. The Falcons get out of here. The Chargers, I mean, is Justin Herbert going to be healthy by then? God, they play the Saints. Monday Night Football. Good luck, fellas. So at that point, the Chiefs will be, what, 5-0, and they will head San Francisco, my friend, with Tom Brady in the booth on Fox.
After the bye week?
The national TV game.
Oh,
after the bye week. The 49ers got to beat him at some point, right?
Yeah.
At some point.
Eventually.
Because I know for sure they ain't losing to the Raiders next week. That game is already decided, kids. I don't care what the betting line is. Patrick is going to light them on fire. So I don't think they're losing to the Buccaneers. I mean, there's not a lot of, like, outside of the – I mean, I know some fans are going to say, well, what about week one? What about week two? Like, it's at home. The games are at home. I don't think it'll be as weird as it was – last year against the Detroit Lions on opening night, So if they get to the first two stretches, you know, the Chiefs are pretty good historically with Andy Reid in September. So I got to go probably somewhere in October, you know, that week six, week eight, nine range. And, I mean, the 49ers got to beat them at some point, right?
The Atlanta game worries me. The Atlanta game worries me because the first four games all have a meaning.
Right.
Baltimore, Cincinnati, obviously important tiebreakers, teams in the AFC. You want to show you're superior
yep.
on the road against the Chargers. We all know the emphasis on the division. It does not matter if they win or lose against the Atlanta Falcons. It really doesn't matter. It's so, like, you know it's going to be amped up. It's Sunday Night Football.
Right.
It's a team that all of us think is going to be able to score in the Atlanta Falcons.
Yeah.
In what should be a raucous environment. That Atlanta game, of all the games that they have on the schedule, that's top three for me worry heading into the season.
So you're saying, like, mid-third quarter, Falcons up 17-7, and everybody's just like, this is nonsense.
And the Chiefs just always have one of those, oh, this game's weird. There are many games that I think kind of fit in that category this year. Like, maybe you would feel that way if they played the Saints on the road. But it's
right,
home,
but it's at home.
It's a home Monday night football
yeah.
game. Saints are not coming into Kansas City and winning a Monday night football
no.
game. Like, Tampa Bay would also be one of those weird games. Also a home Monday night football game.
Right.
All the teams that you think could kind of be a little squirrely, they're all at home.
Yeah.
That Atlanta game to me is the one that I'm a little bit worried about.
And again, I know this is projecting a lot further out, but, you know, around the league, it's like, hey, man, if you were going to trade for Brandon Ayuk, you would have done it by now. Like, the season is, like, 2 weeks, essentially. So, who knows? Maybe he comes back. You know, he's still under contract technically.
They still got to get Trent Williams figured out. He's not under
right
contract with them.
I mean,
right now.
That is yeah, that's like an actual, like, surprising, sneaky holdout, hold in, however you want to call it. Who knows? Maybe he misses a game or two before they get their minds right. But yeah, I mean, if Brandon Ayuk's back, Trent Williams is back in the fold, they haven't done anything crazy. They're probably the team that is most capable of going, you know, touchdown for touchdown with the Chiefs. So I think at that point, I don't know. I mean, and also too, like, that game is going to be such an important game for San Francisco because, you know, they've never beaten them. And I just get the sense that they'll be up for that game. And it was close. I mean, I need to remind people, like, they won the Super Bowl in overtime. So the team I have the most trust in is probably San Francisco, at least through the first half of the season, because I think the Chiefs, if they stay healthy – and if the defense doesn't have, like, a massive drop-off, then, yeah, I think they can go into that game, yeah, 5-0, talk of the league, maybe the last undefeated team, and they have to go to San Francisco.
I actually think they're going to put a really big number up on the Ravens. You and I watch enough NFL, we follow it. I can tell you some storylines coming into the season.
Right.
And I can tell you that a week two storyline is going to be that the Chiefs scored 35 against the Ravens and that the offense is back.
Okay.
You could just
– and give me a deep ball or two?
I can just hear that topic right now on First Take. I could just hear that being a, hey, did you guys see the Chiefs on that Thursday night game? They scored a lot of points against the Ravens. You can just feel it. The two most exciting and encouraging things that happened this entire offseason period – that first 7-on-7, that deep pass to
yeah.
Xavier Worthy,
yeah.
and that touchdown that he had on Saturday.
Yeah.
They didn't have a single person in their offense the last 2 years that could do that.
Yes. Yes. I mean, again, especially if and when Hollywood comes back, the amount of time they're going to have actual one-on-one matchups downfield. And it really does come down to, okay, are you going to max protect? Are you going to chip block for Kingsley Suamataia just because he's a rookie? Maybe you don't want to put him on an island too much. But, you know, Patrick can scramble. He can, you know, extend plays. Obviously, he reduces – I mean, his sack rate is ridiculous. He doesn't really take that many negative plays. So as long as Kingsley is as capable and as talented as the Chiefs believe he is and, you know, what he's demonstrated so far in the preseason, they're going to have chances to score. And I also can project a picture of this too, Carrington. It'll be like week five, maybe going week six into the game against the 49ers, and they're like, Travis Kelce, he's healthy. and he's having another phenomenal season. He maybe has 6-7 touchdowns by then. And you look at last year as kind of this weird anomaly because even though he's getting older, he's still really good. I mean, he can still run routes that are, you know, really sophisticated. And, of course, he has a connection with Mahomes. And so, hey, if you got to cover one and now I can't put two defenders on Travis Kelce, guess who's going to be open all the time on third down? And that might be another reason why they score so many points against Baltimore, because Baltimore was like, this is fine. We'll just put Cal Hamilton on him, isolation, in the AFC Championship game. That didn't go over well. So now you're adding a better version of Rashee Rice and a guy with legit 4.2, 4.3 speed in Xavier Worthy. Kyle Hamilton will have more problems than just Travis Kelce on September 5th.
I guess I have just a true or false question. I think there's going to be a rookie that plays better than Xavier Worthy does this year. True or false?
On offense.
On the whole team. I'll tell you my name. I think that Jaden Hicks is going to have a really good year.
It's possible.
It's definitely possible. You know how like the Ravens draft a linebacker and you're like, oh, that's going to work. Or
yep.
how the Ravens, the Steelers, they draft a certain player, you know it's going to work.
Yes.
The Chiefs have that same thing at corner. They have made Jaden Hicks work at least four times over the last 6 years.
Yeah.
His physicality, his versatility, that's a pick that's going to work for them.
It does remind me, and again, it's not going to be identical, but it does remind me like, L'Jarius Sneed had no preseason games because of the COVID restrictions. And on opening night against the Texans was just like, oh, yeah, I'm the best corner on the team. Like, immediately. And they drafted him in the fourth round as well. So, again, I'm not saying it's going to be exactly the same. But I think Steve Spagnuolo will probably be forced to find a role for Jaden Hicks just because he is very, you know, versatile. He's a capable tackler. He doesn't look lost in space and coverage. You still have Justin Reed, you still have, you know, Chamari Connor and Brian Cook, but yeah, Jaden Hicks should be on the field to some degree in the opener. And to your point, if you look at the whole 17 game sample, including injuries, then yeah, it's possible that Jaden Hicks could be an underrated, very talented defender who has just as much of an impact on the team winning as Xavier Worthy.
All right, we're going to go rapid fire the rest of the way here. 913-586-7610. 913-586-7610. If you got a Chiefs question to ask Nate Taylor, we'll ask it on the other side. My first question is, how does it feel to be the favorite going into the hot dog derby? We'll talk about it tonight. Keep it right here. It's The Drive. To the show, you are listening to The Drive on 96.5 The Fan. My name is Carrington Harrison. Very excited to be here with you. To my right, it is Nate Taylor. He covers the Chiefs for The Athletic. If you guys have a question, go ahead and text it in, 913-586-7610, 913-586-7610. Going to go rapid fire here. My first question to you before I get to the text line questions is, You are running in the hot dog derby today.
Yes.
So it is you, Cody Tapp, and Bob Fesco.
Mm-hmm.
If Bob Fesco beats you in a foot race, don't come back to this show.
Yes, sir.
Don't come back.
Understood. Understood.
This man's almost 50 years old. You're still in your mid-30s.
That's right.
He shouldn't beat you in a foot race.
No, he shouldn't.
Now, he might be stronger than you. Dad strength, old man strength. He might be a little stronger than you. If that man beat you in the 200 meters, don't come back to the show, man.
No. I'm going to stretch. I'm going to drink a lot of water. I'm ready for this.
We still got some water over there,
this
man.
Is my first,
some more water, man.
This is my first time running in this hot dog suit, so can't wait. And, yeah, I should be the odds-on favorite. I mean, let's be honest. Come on. I mean, look at me.
You said it. I did not say that. I want to go ahead and put that
I am
in
the
there.
Odds-on favorite, ladies and gentlemen. Come to the K. To watch me, win a race between Cody Tapp and Bob Fesco. What a life.
Who's their second corner right now?
Jalen Watson.
Is it close between him and Williams?
Yes. Yeah, it's close.
Okay. Is that a worry? Because the only reason I bring this up.
Oh, for sure.
I asked this question to Mitch Holtis. Because it was.
What did Mitch say?
Mitch said he's not worried. It was funny because, and you remember this, whenever the Chiefs were talking about trading L'Jarius Sneed, Chiefs fans were telling me that they were mad they didn't get a first-round pick because they had a top-five corner in the league. Now I'm like, hey, maybe that top-five corner, you're going to miss him. No. Like, hold on, which one is it?
Right. It can't be both.
And now you lose in the top-five corner, or he was really important to the defense.
Nah, L'Jarius Sneed was really good last year, folks.
Yeah, he was really good for this team.
He was really good.
So my biggest thing is, and I understand the argument is, well, you have McDuffie and they've done it before, is I think more than anything, it just freed McDuffie up to do everything.
Yeah, which was true.
It freed him up to do everything. Yeah. He can blitz. He can do everything because you knew you had a guy on
one
side.
We could just put him on Deebo Samuel and 100%. Live. Incredible. Yeah, that was incredible. They're like, yeah, we'll just put Trip McDuffie on Deebo Samuel, and he won't do anything in the Super Bowl. What? Like, yeah. So, no, I think it's a concern because Jalen Watson hasn't even played in the preseason, and he's kind of the quarterback too by default, I guess. Josh Williams is fine. He's the more L'Jarius Sneed type of cornerback, but I think right now if I had to pick, it'd probably be Jalen Watson.
Right now, 913-586-7610. If you got a question for Nate Taylor, now is your time to get it in. We're going to go rapid fire here with your questions. Who's the kick returner?
God, that's a good question. I don't really know. Sky Moore. Hell, let's just do it. Let's just give him a role. Right? I mean, Sky Moore is on the team, probably, which is why I think they're going to have seven receivers with, like, him and maybe Justin Ross. Who knows? Nico Remigio might have to settle for the practice squad.
You didn't say that. It made me confident.
Let's give him hey, you know what, Coach? He can return kicks.
He can return kicks. Do you like the kickoff rules?
Sure. I mean, I understand the league saying, hey, there wasn't a single kickoff return in the Super Bowl last year, right? Like, our biggest game, there was, like, an entire – part of the game was just not a part of it. So yeah, return the kicks. Let's please somebody score a touchdown, because kickoff return touchdowns are like one of the more exciting things
100%
in the sport. Like Dante Hall used to make football so fun because you never knew when he would take one to the house. So I like the rule, but somebody please return these kicks, and I hope coaches aren't, you know, scaredy cats and kick it through the back of the end zone. That's my only concern. But I like the new rule.
I actually want them to make it more of a penalty for you to do that. And I understand they tried to at first. Like, they tried to put the ball in the 35, and the coaches wouldn't agree to it. If you really want to return, like, right now they got the return to, like, 75, 77%. If you want to get it to, like, 90%, then put the ball on the 40-yard line if you intentionally try to kick it out of – or if you try to kick it out of the end zone.
I love it. Yeah, basically put the other team – put the opposition basically in scoring position.
You got to make a play. You got to go out and tackle somebody and stop them. So I saw the stat, and I'll read it to you here. So the stat was, through the first two preseason games last year, the return rate for kickoffs was 22%.
Ooh.
They've now got it to 78% through the first two preseason games. And then last year, the average starting field position was around the 24-yard line.
Ooh.
This year, it's around the 28-yard line. That's
better. Yay, that's
better,
a start.
It's better, and you're getting returns.
Right.
And
right.
You're getting returns.
Right. Now the other concern that we have to talk about, too, is, hey, man, if people don't know what they're doing out here, which they kind of don't because we've never seen it before, there might be some injury statistics that may skew the league to say, well, hold on now. Maybe we don't need to, like, do it that much if there's going to be more of an increase in, like, you know, knee injuries or concussions or anything else. But outside of that, I want to see returns because the game is supposed to be three phases, right? So can we have the third phase that just isn't the kicker trying to kick a ball through the uprights?
Who is a player that you were disappointed in and how their camp went?
I mean, I said it earlier. I love Kadarius Toney. I love this man. He, again, one of the greatest thrills of my life was seeing in person him evade about six Philadelphia Eagles in the greatest punt return in Super Bowl history, and they have yet to find a way to cultivate him into being a better player. Utterly disappointing, because I thought the only thing he had to do was relatively stay healthy and just be a professional NFL player. He has not impressed the coaching staff at all, from my understanding. His place in the depth chart has only gotten lower. He's with the third string. You know, right now he'll get probably reps with the second and third string, you know, on Thursday against the Bears, just to see if he's a trade asset at this point. But I don't think he's making the roster. It's really disappointing. And, yeah, you know, they the trade worked. because it helped them win a Super Bowl. But the trade has literally not worked since that Super Bowl.
Do you think that we get a contract announcement in the next 14 days?
Of somebody on the team with an extension?
Yeah, so Creed Humphrey, Nick Bolton, Trey Smith.
I don't know what's taking them longer because, you know, I reported in The Athletic that, hey, Harrison Butker's going to get his deal done, which happened, and I reported that the next guy would be Creed Humphrey and that depending on his contract extension, could they get Trey Smith done by the end of training camp preseason before the regular season? I mean, what are we waiting on?
I'm a little surprised they're going to pay Trey Smith just given what that market is.
True, but if you structure it a certain way and you get Creed Smith into the fold, maybe there's a way for you to structure it a certain way that you can at least ensure his roster spot for the next 2 years outside of this year on like a 4-year deal that's like technically a 2-year extension. But they got to get Creed done first, and Creed should be the highest paid center, and it shouldn't cost them that much because I believe it's, what, $14 million a year? So they have the money right now in the cap room to do it, so it is surprising that they haven't done it yet. But I will say yes, they will try to get Creed Humphrey done before the start of the season.
That is our guy, Nate Taylor, joining us on the show today. He does fantastic work with The Athletic. He is going to be back on the show every Friday at 4 o'clock once we get football going. Nate, man, always great catching up with
you. Yes, sir, man. Anytime.
I appreciate you. Yeah. Coming up on the other side, everybody will be here. Keep it right here. It's 96.5 The Fan.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare. The hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.
My dad works in B2B marketing. He came by my school for career day and said he was a big ROAS man. Then he told everyone how much he loved calculating his return on ad spend. My friends still laugh at me to this day.
Not everyone gets B2B, but with LinkedIn, you'll be able to reach people who do. Get a $100 credit on your next ad campaign. Go to linkedin.com/results to claim your credit. That's linkedin.com/results. Terms and conditions apply. LinkedIn, the place to be. To be.
There's sports betting, and then there's Circa Las Vegas, an adults-only sports watching nirvana. Now you can watch up to 19 games at the world's largest sports book on a 78-million-pixel, 3-story mega screen. Plus, it's always spectator season at America's largest pool amphitheater, Stadium Swim. Stadium Swim is open 365 days a year and features all sports on an epic 143-foot screen. Book your reservation at CircaLasVegas.com. Circa Las Vegas, this is sports the way it should be.
In life and recovery, every day is a little different. Embrace the good days, the not so good days, and the challenges, and acknowledge how you overcame them. Find the path to recovery that works for you. Learn more at cdc.gov/stopoverdose.
Protect your vehicle's engine with a full synthetic oil change and save with Mobil 1 at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Purchase 5 quarts of Mobil 1 full synthetic motor oil and receive a $10 O'Reilly gift card after rebate. See store for details. With your Mobil 1 purchase, you'll also receive 2x points during Old Rewards Bonus Points Month at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Oh, O'Reilly Auto Parts.